So, dearly beloved, you're wondering why you're gathered here today? Okay. When I was thinking of a topic that could be a group eventually, or just this way in one-time shot, of course, I've told you guys, since you've met me, that I'm a worshiper. You know that. That has something to do with my Jewish background. Jewish people are worshipers. But besides that, I love the Lord with all my heart, and that's one of the ways that I worship. But I want you to know that today is not going to be dealing with that. I told him on the way here, my notes are like so, they're probably, what I think you might be expecting is, because you all know I have a little bit of that charismatic way in me, that I'm going to be here telling you all about, you got to do this, and you got to do this, you got to jump up and down, twirl around, and make flags go, and that is not at all what I'm going to talk about today. So I know. So actually, I mean, I can branch off into all of that, or I could come again and go deeper into that, because that's really something eventually I think would be absolutely gorgeous. But not everybody understands all of that. So I don't want to do that. Today I thought, I know everybody in this room has been a Christian forever, so you all know probably a lot of what I'm going to say. But I think it's really important. In order to dig deeper and to go deeper into worship, we have to understand what is worship, right? So that's what we're going to talk about, the discipline of worship. What is it? I got some notes here. So is it on Sunday, when we all come together on the Lord's Day, that the church gathers in worship? Is that what worship is? When we think about worship, there's a Sunday morning experience that comes to most people's minds. So we're going to go to church and we're going to worship. Or is it sitting in a pew, singing a couple of hymns and having the pastor preach a sermon? Is that worship? Maybe. But that's a narrow definition of worship that's kind of short-sighted. Worship is way more than any of what I just said. So first, what would you define worship as? Somebody tell me. What's worship?
An expression of loving God.
Cool. You get a cigar? What else?
It's lifting him up. We're below, he's above. Recognizing our place.
Perfect.
I'm thankful for that.
We need to buy some cigars. She's good, too.
No, I don't smoke.
So,
maybe one of those licorice ones.
Act of praising God for how awesome he is.
Giving our tithes.
Yes, that's a form of worship.
You say?
Giving tithes. Oh, giving money to help, to support the ministry.
Reading his word.
Reading his word. So, yeah, so maybe I should just go home now. So, that's what we're going to talk about. Like, how do you express worship during the week? And is it just on Sunday mornings that you worship? And what are ways that you prepare yourself to prioritize the habit and the heart of worship? There's a habit of worship. There's a reason that we worship, because God tells us to. And if he's our God, then we want to listen, because whatever he tells us to do, and we do, we benefit from it, and others benefit from it, right? But when we go against his ways, do things the way we think it should be done, then we're not pleasing God at all. So one example, which isn't in my notes, but okay, so I like to raise my hands. You know that. You see me do that. I love to do interpretive dance. You haven't seen me do that one yet. That's my form. That's what I do during worship service. But would it be right if I was forcing every single... If I came here to this breakfast and said, none of you know how to worship because you don't do it the way I do it. And is that even worship anyway? That's a piece. That's a part of worship. When we go to the church and we sing the songs, yes, that's a form of worshiping. But that's not worshiping with our every part of our body.
So it has to come from within.
That's right. There's a reason we call Sunday morning experience a worship service, okay? So in the broadest sense, worship is about service rendered. Worship is anything that is done, in service to honor another. Now listen to this. It is to say that the person is worthy of honor. When we serve our neighbor out of reverence to the Lord, guess what? That's worship. When you go to the local food bank and you give, or maybe you go to a soup kitchen and you serve, or maybe you see a single mom or dad in a supermarket and they're struggling, and you reach out and you help, either give them $10 or help with the child in the car, whatever. That's a form of worship, because what we're doing is we're serving God, and we have no need to do that as a physical person. Oh, I have to help you this weekend. Why? But if I do it unto the Lord, I'm showing worship to God. If I know someone's ill and I make a meal for them, what am I doing? That's another form of worship, because I'm helping God. God is working through these hands and this whole body, and I'm offering these hands and this body to Him in a form of worship. So worship isn't just walking in a church, sitting down, saying your prayers, lifting your hands, folding your hands, however you praise and worship God, but it is a part of it. And worship is so important. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That's Colossians 3:23. Now, while we do worship on Sunday morning, we should not limit our definition of worship to what happens on Sunday morning.
It's just the corporate form of our worship.
Exactly.
Right? We're all together.
Yeah.
So much of it is a part.
And if we got together on Sunday and did no songs at all, we didn't do any songs. But let's say Margaret stood up and said, you know, brothers and sisters, I really have a need today. I'm really, really worried about such and such and such. And she breaks down and cries. Now, that's not our normal formal type service that we do every Sunday there, right? But if we stopped everything, I'm not saying we do this every week. I'm just using an example. If we stopped everything we were doing and ministered to her, and maybe it would have been a couple of the ladies went over and put their arms around her, and laid hands on her, pastor came over and prayed for her, and we found out that maybe she was struggling financially. So he reaches his hand into his pocket and takes out $20. And then you see that, so you give her $5. And by the end of what would have been the normal service, maybe at the end we all are standing around her and we start to sing There's Power in the Blood or something, you know, who knows, like something very, one of those powerful old songs. We have just worshiped God, haven't we? Because why? Because we took time. We took all of the average normal things that we do that we claim worship. Well, okay, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. We got to sing 6 songs. We got to sing 3 songs. Then we have to do this. Then we have to do this. Then there's the sermon. In the meantime, she's in the corner crying and no one has seen her. So worship is when we serve God by serving others.
Instantaneously.
Right. When we sing an unknown song, we just start singing because we feel God in our heart. And the waitress goes, oh, I love that song. You know, my grandmother used to sing that. And maybe the waitress will start to cry. Next thing you know, you can go over to that waitress and maybe, I know it's not allowed, but maybe put your arm around her or touch her shoulder. Next thing you know, she's sobbing. And maybe she gets brought back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. What have you just done? Mm-hmm. That's a form of worshiping God with all your heart, mm-hmm. with all your being. You know, I mean, the Bible tells us that we're to enter his gates with praise and thanksgiving, okay? That's important. In the old tabernacle days, that's how they would come in. You wouldn't dare come in without worshiping, as far as singing, praising, thanking God for everything he's done, helping one another as you walked into the temple. And it wasn't always just song. It might have been someone fell down, you helped them up. You do different things, and you are reaching out and serving God through that way. So worship originates with God showering us with his grace and mercy. And we receive forgiveness that we don't deserve, right? I mean, we all know that is sitting here. We receive the assurance of that forgiveness through the sacrament that we received. The word that is read and proclaimed assures us of the victory that he has won and the abundant life that he gives. And we're worth it to him. He sent Jesus to die for us. He loves us beyond all measure. He gives us everything and does not hold back on anything. I'm saying this for a reason. This is God rendering on our behalf because to him, we're worth it. But of critical importance is that we must be present to receive it. Worship is as much, or even more so, for us as much as it is for God. God tells us that we are to worship him. We read that there are angels around the throne 24/7 worshiping him. It isn't because he's a narcissist or an egotist or whatever, because he's worthy of our praise. We wouldn't have these fingers. We wouldn't be here alive. We wouldn't be sitting here together if he didn't love us and create us. So part of what we need to do is worship. That should be very, that's why he says, very important, first thing, worship. Worship. Do something. Doesn't just mean sing, although we all love to do that. And in the last while, that couple years we've been with you, I even see more joy in, you know, your singing. And so that is important, but it's also important. Worship has so many other things that are involved in it. I put down, we respond. We could never love him back the way he loves us. Our worship is our response to his love. But the worship that we give is so small next to what God deserves. But we give him as much as we can, right? We do what we can. And we're empowered by the Spirit of God. But we do have human limitations. So all of our worship is a response. It's never a work performed by God to gain his favor. And that's another thing I wanted to point out today. I know some places preach that, you know, it's to gain God's favor. In actuality, God doesn't really need each one of our worships. He desires it. It's like a husband and wife desire to be together, or a grandmother desires to be with her grandchildren, or a parent with their child. We desire that. Well, God desires for us to be with him, and we need to desire to be with him. Part of that is worship. When we spend time with God, we're worshiping. We give him our time, we give him our service, and that's to honor him because he's worth it. And we recognize that we have nothing without him. So when we start thinking about everything we do for God and worship, we have to realize that without him, we have nothing. It shouldn't be a chore. And I think some people, maybe not in this group, but some people find it a chore to even say, praise God, or thank God, or whatever. Sometimes it's easier if people say, thank God. As soon as they say, praise God, they feel like they're going off into a charismatic realm where you're not. It's throughout the Bible. People say, praise the Lord, praise God. Are you sleeping?
No, I'm not sleeping.
Okay. Sorry.
But praise you for asking.
Boy, he's listening.
Well, I'm sorry. That
you
just happened.
Say it,
that just
Mary,
happened.
You can kick her under the table.
I'm sorry.
Like the word hallelujah is all throughout the scripture, and it's praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. And there's so many halal. There's so many, if you take the Hebrew words and break them down, that really relate to praise in a variety of ways, like lifting your hands. And I think I talked about this once when I preached a little bit on this at the church. And, you know, like you lift your hands like this, or you wave your hands, or you bring your hands together, or you bow down. Those are all forms of worship. And none of them are bad to do. What's happened is the not-so-charismatic churches have watched the charismatic churches that get really charismatic, and then it freaks them out, so then everybody's afraid to do anything when it comes to physical. But God says if we don't do it, the trees wave their hands all the time, and the rocks will shout out, and, you know, so we do need to get a grip and, you know, realize that just because someone does this or raises their hand or shouts out or says amen to God, if they're doing it for their own purpose, like Joanne comes up and leads worship, she brings a guitar, she's very humble.
Oh, yeah.
If she came up there and did it to bring glory to herself, then the worship part of it would be eradicated. Like maybe somebody here would be worshiping God, but her leading us in, the most beautiful worship leader is the humble worship leader. When you see that, I remember going to a praise and worship conference, Robin Mark. You know who Robin Mark is? Okay, it would have been you were young or a teenager when he was popular. But Belfast, revival in Belfast, do you remember that?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay, it was a really cool, anyway. So I remember being at a worship conference. It was for people who are in worship teams and people who love to worship. And it was in London at the university. And on the stage was there was a worship team. And this beautiful worship started playing. It's one of the really popular songs, but it was written that night because it came under the power of the Spirit. At the night that I was here, I can't remember which one it was, but anyway, and you didn't see the worship leader. It's like, where's the singer? You know where he was? Sitting in the corner. There was curtains on the stage, like a typical stage for plays and stuff. Sitting by the curtain, you didn't even see him. So humble, and he wrote one of these really famous praise and worship songs that are out that they sing in all the churches.
So now it's popular, but then it was brand new.
It was brand new. He was making it up through the Spirit that night. But instead of being out in the middle like, this is me doing this, he was humble. That was leading you, the people, into worship, into a beautiful worship of true heart. So that's a form of having a heart of worship.
Not everybody is humble.
No.
You are a more charismatic type.
Yep.
I am. So if I was up leading it, it wouldn't be for my own gratification, but I might be a little bit more lively. Once you know the person, and we're not to judge, once you know the person, you say, that's that person.
But see, that's the thing. Yeah. I've seen you get up and sing, and you're like, come on, you know, and you're more like I am.
Yeah.
But it's still humble because you're never saying, follow me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Yes, because when I was young, my sister was Pentecostal. She took me when I was 17 to a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
She said to me right away, Eleanor, they're going to be making noise tonight. They're going to be raising hands and everything. If you don't feel comfortable, let me know. I went so nervous that I was uncomfortable from the beginning. I didn't know what was going on, so I leaned over and I said, I gotta get out of here. I wasn't exposed to it in a different way that I got the understanding of it, and it scarred me.
Mm-hmm.
It did. And then we belonged to a couple of gospel groups. We were told, kick off your shoes, raise your hands. I said, I don't feel like I should do that. It's not coming from within.
It has to come from within. That's your form of worship. And everybody has different ways. Like I said, you could be so quiet and humble in church when they're singing the praise and worship. Mm. And people think, she doesn't even raise her hand. Mm. She doesn't even, what is with that? And then you get up and over in the corner, there's somebody crying. Mm-hmm. And you go over and you love on that person and you help that mm-hmm. person, whatever it is. If it's a hug, if it's taking them out to lunch, whatever. You are worshiping God. The one who's crazy, wild in there, maybe goes out and walks right past that person. So, you know, God sees our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's not the outside thing that everybody's doing. Although some people like doing that. And that's the way they do everything. And other people are a little bit different, and that's the way they do everything. As long as you are serving God and worshiping Him with your whole body, whatever it takes, if you have extra clothing and you know there's somebody that just went into a woman's shelter, terrible condition, has nothing, and you say, you know what? I have 3 sweaters and a couple pairs of pants, and I know they'll fit her, and I've got some, you know, shorts, and I got some kids' clothes that will fit. And you bring them to her. Guess who you're worshiping? You're not worshiping you. You're not worshiping Women's Place. You're not worshiping that woman. You're saying, God, use me. And now you're worshiping God. So there's a habit of worship. I just wanted to get to this. God desires a habit of worship, so it's appropriate sometimes to set time to guard your time, to make it a priority. The habit of worship is about a divine priority. So if you worship every day, he uses his bicycle a lot. Let's say on his bike, he sings to God and thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. And, you know, and he's riding and maybe he's, I don't know, he sees an elderly gentleman who just fell down and he gets off his bike and he goes and helps the guy up and says, God bless you, and walks away or rides away back on his bike singing. He's worshiping God. That's his form of worship. We all have our form. Some it's through mouth. Maybe it's encouraging. You're an encourager. When you encourage other people, you're giving glory to God. Because people will say, why do you do that? You don't even know me. Why would you even care enough to say something nice to me? That's the first nice thing anybody said to me in ages. Well, who were you just honoring? Your Father. You were honoring God. By doing, he leads you to do those things. And as soon as you do something that he wants you to do, that's a form of worship. So God wants us to start to make a habit of showing him that he's priority. So however you worship, if it's when we go to church, that's great. But what if you only go on Sunday morning? Is that the only time you think that you're worshiping God? Because that's not what God wants.
So it's in your daily life.
Every day. So you, what can you do? You put on some praise and worship at home. You sing in the house. You know, there's so many things. In your car, you could be worshiping God. In what you do every day, in your job, and wherever you are, you can worship God. And that's what that's... The more you do this, the deeper you go. And we have been Christians for years, and we need to keep going deeper. If a person is married to somebody and you never get to know that person, how deep can your relationship be? It can't be deep. There'll be things you'll never know. Oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't know you liked that color. I didn't know that's what you did when you were in school. I wish I would have talked more to you about that. Right? Well, that's the same with God. He likes us to set time aside, which is another form of worship, to learn about him. Sometimes that's reading the word. Sometimes it's watching a sermon that was 3 months ago and it's going to talk to you again. Sometimes it's being quiet, which is hard for some of us, right? And then just being quiet before God. And let him speak to you. sometimes you're sitting in a quiet place, and maybe you just be sitting there with your eyes closed, and you might be just humming. Maybe you're going to hum an old hymn or a new one. And you start humming, and your eyes are closed. And next thing you know, you feel like you're in the presence with God. Because guess what? You took the time. He's always with us. He wants our time. He wants our worship. It's like with us with kids. Some of you have kids here. Some of you don't. Maybe you have a favorite little puppy dog or something. But whatever it is that you love, you want time with it. Right? If you don't spend time with your spouse, if you don't spend time with your kids, if you don't spend time with your mom or your dad, and they're gone, then what? If you don't spend time with your puppy, it'll be a grown-up dog before you know it. You see, time. God wants our time. He's got so much to tell us, so much to learn from him. We don't spend time with him. We only know this much. We know what Pastor Dan teaches. We know what Joanne tells us when she's up there, what I tell you when I'm up. But you need to know him for yourself. And when you're taking time to worship, you grow deep in your relationship with God. There's a couple more things here. The heart of worship, God desires a heart of worship as much as he desires a habit of worship. So he wants you to worship him every day in some form. That's the habit. The heart is what's in your heart when you're doing it. If you set your alarm clock at 6:15 every morning so that you've got 45 minutes to worship God before you have to do something at 7, and you force yourself and you go into your little prayer area and you go, okay, now this is my, I can't miss it. This is my time to worship. That's your habit of worship, okay? And that's okay to get started, but he wants your heart. So a heart of worship is now you're excited about it. What can I do for God today? What is it I can do? Can I just be an encourager? You remember I was telling you about when I spoke at the church last, about a dog that was missing in the community. Mm-hmm. And the whole community, 53 days he was missing. Everybody was searching for this dog. Everybody fell in love with this dog. His name is Yuki. And there's this group that formed. And some people were against the group because they said, we have a tracker, and that group is going to stop the tracker from doing his work, her work, and they'll scare the dog away. But this group, I was part of it, felt really led to continue, even though they were saying stop. So they continued. And I did a lot of praying, and other people did a lot of physical work, going into the woods and finding footprints. And, you know, there was so much in this community. And the dog started off by where I live in Fort Erie, and he went to Ridgeway. He was all over wandering. This Great Pyrenees, he is. So they wander. Well, finally, through this group, and through some prayer, and through people saying, God, this is it. This dog's going to die. Somebody sighted him. He was as skinny as a rail. He's usually real big. He's going to die. God, you got to do it today. And that was the day that the dog was found by that group who was told not to search for him. But the thing was that my job, what could my job be? I can't go traipsing out in the woods and putting on these boots. I mean, I suppose I could, but that's not me. But I could pray at home. And I could go into worship, and I could seek God's face, which I did, and I told those people I was doing it. Now, they're not all Christian, but I was telling them, you guys are angels. I believe in ministering angels. God is using you to find that dog. Don't give up. Well, they found the dog. It was amazing. But then they're writing to me, thanking me for encouraging words, praying, prompting them. Now, who was that who led that whole thing? Did I? Of course I love animals. But what prompted me to keep doing that? and to talk about God. And one guy was hurt because somebody said a negative thing, you know, you shouldn't have been out there, you could have, the dog could have run in the street and got killed. And it hurt this man's heart because he had a gentle heart. And I tried to tell the guy, you know, I know somebody else who did nothing but good, and how that person got spit on and punched and crucified. Now, this guy wasn't a Christian, right? But I felt God said, do this. And I talked to the guy about Jesus. I didn't push it. I just said, I know a guy who did that. And this is what happened to him. And I go, and I know. I've lived in this community a long time. I've personally been crucified for doing good work because I bring God into it. People don't like it. So I'm telling you all of that because that is another way of worship. God desires to use you. And because you love him, you open your mouth when he tells you to do it. You are bringing glory to him every time you do that. And as you bring glory to God, you're worshiping. When you're raising your hands in a church singing, you're giving glory to God. You're worshiping. When you're out in the community helping, you're bringing glory to God. As long as you're not bringing glory to you. As long as people know.
But you do feel good after you do
it. Well, it's a wonderful thing, and God wants you to feel good. That dopamine rush has to be there, right?
Yeah.
Or we won't do it.
Yeah.
God gave us that.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to do it. Okay, so some thoughts about preparing yourself for worship, and that is ask God to make you sensitive to the needs of others around you. Ask him to reveal places where you can serve him by offering to help others, and ask for help to recognize any holy interruption to your plan so that you can experience his plan. Okay, that's important. Sometimes, and I think we've heard Daniel do it, and I know I've done it. You'll be up there and you'll have your notes, and then it's like all of a sudden you are like so off your notes. That's a holy interruption.
I never heard it put that way. Yeah. I like that.
Because it's...
Who's interrupting me?
Yeah. Well, there's this one Hebrew roots preacher, actually. His name is Michael Rood.
I've heard.
And he can be very rude sometimes. But what... I like him. We were very involved in the ministry, traveled down there. But he can be rude. But anyways... Love you, Michael, in case you're going to watch this. So what happens is when he's doing all of his TV series or his YouTube series, they'll go beep, 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 beep. This is a rude interruption. And then they'll do something like that, like a holy interruption. and the thing is that God sometimes will stop you with all your plan. And it's a holy thing. And he'll say, Daniel, don't even look at your notes right now. And just keep talking. And while he's talking, he's ministering to maybe two or three people out there that needed to hear exactly what's coming from his mouth. And he's like, where the heck is this coming from, right? He doesn't even realize where it's coming from. It's coming from the Spirit telling him to preach it so that these people can understand God. In the meantime, he's doing what God wants him to do, so he's worshiping the Lord. Do you see what that means? As you go deeper. That's why I wanted to talk about this today. It isn't just hallelujah, and you make sure you raise your hands, and you better dance next time, and you have to bring a flag. Okay? So, instead,
tomorrow, Bruce.
So, and you know what? I personally love that stuff, but it isn't for everybody, and if you're not going to, if it would offend you, you can't. Everybody has their way of that type of worship in a church.
And we can grow into changing our ways by watching other people.
Right.
Say, oh, that's really weird. Well, maybe I'll try this
one. Well, one day maybe I'll do...
You did a dance one time.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, well, that was downstairs. We did some Jewish dances, and then the music went off, but... Maybe one, somebody curse that one. We don't want dancing in the church. Maybe one day I'll do an interpretive dance to show you. All that is worship. God says he wants us to use our whole body to worship him. Maybe that's not for everybody. Maybe it's for some people. So, excuse me. When it comes to that, some people can do that. Like I can sit and listen to it. She was putting it there for me.
Camera.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, here. Cheers. I can do that. I can put on a song like Heart of Worship, that song. You know, I'm going. So, and a way of kind of signing or dances, you know, I'm coming back to a heart of worship because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Well, that's what they do when they do interpretive dance.
Well, what happened to the action songs when the kids were little?
Exactly.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's
yeah.
the
book
for me.
Yeah, you know, deep, down. Yeah. Remember we used to do that? I used to go to Brethren in Christ Church, so that's where I got all that. So, yeah, but then people all of a sudden started associating that with charismatic, weird, something strange.
Exactly.
Don't touch it.
Exactly.
But interpretive dance is beautiful. Yeah. And you see that if you go to Israel, you will see that. Mm-hmm. You go to the temples, you actually will see people mm-hmm. with flags. Mm-hmm. Well, you go to a game and you wave a flag. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be weird here. I wasn't going to talk about that today. But you do. Your favorite star comes in the room. What do? Just sit there. Yes! Right?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. You're watching American Idol. What are they all doing? They're holding up their phones and going like this. Well, somebody's singing, and then the King of Kings comes into the room, and you're all like, must not do that. Right? I mean, so those are things we have to get a grip with eventually. Okay, so back with that. Prepare yourself for Sunday worship on Saturday night. Don't rush into church on Saturday, Sunday morning and expect everything to go. We're almost done, so we're good. It's a good time. And expect everything to go smooth in the church. He needs prayer. And I don't mean it that way. This guy needs prayer.
Well, that sounds like one of my lines.
He needs to have prayer. When we pray and we ask God to speak through him, we're doing what he wants us to do. And that is a form of worshiping God, because that's what he wants. So arrive a little early. If you're going to have a tea or a coffee, do it. I know sometimes it's hard on us because we come from Fort Erie and all. But anyway, and pray for the pastor. Or sit in the pew and pray in there. So there's things. The night before, pray for him. Pray for the kids that are going to be there. Maybe know what you're going to wear ahead of time so that you're not rushing in the morning. So that when you enter into church, you know that it's a special day of the week, right? And even tell if you've got kids or...
I'm awake. Wrapped up with you. They'll never do that to you.
Picked on you twice.
Okay, when I'm done with this and that's turned off, remind me to tell you about the paint party. Anyway. So ask God to show you, to get your kids ready too ahead of time. If you've got kids you're bringing, get them excited about coming in to worship God. Ask God to show you if you've messed up this week somewhere and pray about that. Confess those areas of your life so when you do go into a worship service that you're clean and ready to go. There was a time when I was in a worship ministry and if something wasn't right, you all know I was married before, so it was with my ex-husband and we were pastors. And if there was a time when things were really bad, I would not go up and be in the music ministry. I couldn't, because how am I going to lead you into the throne room if I am like that? So sometimes I would sit out and wait. And when I felt a release while I was praying, then I would like kind of slowly get up there and get to the keyboard and do what I had to do. But so God wants you to confess any area of your life. Go to bed early so you can wake up refreshed be ready to receive the word and be ready to worship God. That's another way to draw closer. Arrive early to worship. Read your Bible. If there's songs that you know you're going to be singing, read them over. If they're in the hymnal, know what you're singing. Don't just blah, 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 blah and have no clue what you're singing. Pray for your pastor, as I said before. Pray for the Holy Spirit that the Spirit of God will speak through your pastor, or whoever's speaking. Bring your Bible with you to worship. A lot of us don't do that anymore, and I just got done having a long talk about that with some people because we all use the Bible app. And that's great. I have like 3 Bible apps. But sometimes there's something about bringing that physical Bible. So think about that. I'm not saying that you're bad if you bring the app. But when you, the Bible, I never used to go anywhere without my Bible. Now it's on my phone along with 18,000 other apps and people talking and chatting and everything else. Where if you have your physical Bible, that's it. There's the living word of God. So I kind of like that, but I bring my phone too. So reflect on the week's previous message. When a message is preached, there's a reason for it, and it draws us deeper. If we just listen to it that one time, often we lose a lot of what we hear. All right, we hear all of it, we take in some of it, we apply a little bit of it, and when we go to talk about it, it's like, what was that about? We forget. So rewatch it. He puts it on, you have the availability, and it will help to bring you deeper so that you can go deeper into worship. Thank God for the insight that he gives you. Always thank him for insight. When you walk into church, when you're ministering to somebody, ask for discernment and insight so you can be a worshiper. And then also, one of the big things, sing. Don't wait to go to church on Sunday. Worship wherever you are and sing. Because these songs will bring you deep into worship. You'll be surprised, but most of these songs are scripture. Even the really, really, really old hymnals, right up to the brand new ones, they're scripture. And if we sing those songs, when you're going through problems, when you're worried about somebody, when you're happy, when you're driving, whatever you're doing, sing unto the Lord, right?
When you can't sleep at night.
When you can't sleep, sing to God. Worship God. When you do that, you're going to find your life is going to start to get, like, amazing. And I know a lot of you do a lot of this already, but it's important. So that's going deeper. I have another handout. That I can give to you if people want those notes. They're welcome to have them. But this one here is just 10 ways to go deeper into worship. And it talks about praying and all these other things. So you can all take these home. And if you want the notes from today, you can have them. But yeah, so I think you all do really well. I watch. I've been watching for a couple years. You're all amazing. And I know you all love God. And you might all not jump around and dance around, but the Spirit of God is within you. So God bless everybody here.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank God.
I don't know how to do it other than one by one.
Okay.